You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin, and I'm very delighted to welcome into our studios Dr. John Flannery, our Director of Choral Activities here at New Mexico State University, and Dr. Taylor Hightower, coming in from the University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg, for two concerts this weekend of the Mozart Requiem. And let's start with John Flannery, since you've been preparing Masterworks and the University Singers for a few months now on this magnificent, enormous work. Let's talk a little bit about that and the process of preparing young people and older people and just the Requiem itself. And Taylor Hightower, if you want to jump in, we'll let you jump in. Then I'll have questions for you as
sure.
Well.
So yeah, the Mozart is one of my favorite works, and I have conducted it a couple times before and sung it, and I heard it done live last summer as an audience member, and I thought, I need to get that back to the top of my bucket list. So I knew it's also very audience-friendly. People recognize many of the movements out of the Mozart, and I knew that the Masterworks would enjoy, many of them have done it, and those that haven't done it, I knew they would gravitate towards it, and the students have loved the preparation on it too. So the Masterwork started in January, since they only meet one night a week, and the Uni Singers and our new men's choir, the Statesmen, also started it, and they've all kind of crammed it in about the last month because we had a concert at the end of March, and then we had to work towards it. So the preparation has been fast and furious for the students, but it's been great, and they've really gravitated towards it and love it and are really excited about the performances this weekend.
So how many times are they rehearsing a week to learn that whole piece in a month?
The Uni Singers get four rehearsals a week. The Statesmen only get two rehearsals a week, but because they're a men's choir, we only have to teach two parts. So it feels like you're teaching half of it because you're only teaching the tenor and the bass part. And yeah. So that has actually made it go substantially faster for them.
And some of them must be in Uni Singers.
And there is some crossover there, and
yeah.
That helps. And we've had some community members that have come in during the day as well to gain extra rehearsal time, and then that helps too.
It's a lot of music and a lot of words, not in English. So this is a challenge for singers and young singers who won't have had that experience. But let's talk, the three of us, about the Requiem itself, a work that has driven scholars crazy for a few centuries because, of course, Mozart died while he was writing it. And there's various stories that, Amadeus gave us one of them, that a mysterious anonymous person commissioned it, and Mozart thought he was writing it for his own death. And then I think there's been a lot more scholarship since, and another composer altogether helped finish it. So give us a little bit of the background of the Mozart Requiem.
Yeah, the Count Walsig came to Mozart and wanted to commission this in honor of his wife, and they believe that the Count's motive was he was going to erase Mozart's name at the top and then have it performed with his own name at the top.
Which he had done.
Yes.
On other, not necessarily Mozart, but he had claimed that he had composed.
He had done that with other composers, that's correct. And so Mozart really writes through the first eight bars of the Lacrimosa, which is the sixth movement. And then after that, he just leaves some sketches and some skeletal orchestration ideas. And actually, two students, his first student, Joseph Eibler, took the score from his wife, Mozart's wife, Constanze, and he took a crack at it, and he orchestrated a few things and added some parts, but then he gave it back. He felt unworthy, scholars say he felt unworthy, and then Franz Süssmayr, his other pupil, takes it and completes it. He claims that the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei are entirely his own, and that the others, and the bad thing about Mozart is because he died in such an indebted state that Constanze, his wife, sold off so many of his things. And even if you go to Salzburg now, today I was there, I don't know, several years ago, but there's really nothing left of Mozart's estate in terms of artifacts, in terms of harpsichords or, even just furniture or scores and those kinds of things, because she sold so much of it off, or so much of it was done away with. And so that's the unfortunate thing. But there is a great mystery behind all of it, but we do know what Mozart wrote very specifically, down to pretty much every note, thanks to some autograph scores that have existed. So
let's move to Taylor Hightower, who's going to be one of the soloists. Let's just name the other soloists before we proceed.
Taylor's wife, Miss Karen Hightower, will be the soprano soloist, And then two of our faculty, Dr. Sarah Daughtry is the alto soloist, and Dr. John Pierce, they're both our voice faculty here. Dr. Pierce will sing the tenor soloist. And then Dr. Taylor Hightower will be doing the bass solos on the Mozart. So
Taylor Hightower, tell the listeners, what's the role of the soloists as opposed to the choir? What are you singing in relationship to what the choir is singing?
Well, it's interesting in this piece. Normally, the soloists get to sit in front and get all the glory. I'm just kidding. But we sit in front and we wait until our time comes. A lot of times you'll have a solo line, but in the Mozart, I've noticed that a lot of it is quartet singing, which is really interesting. It provides a different texture for the audience. It allows them to hear the difference between the full chorus behind the orchestra and then the quartets in front. So I've really enjoyed learning this piece, as this is my first time singing the Mozart. I've, of course, heard it on the movie Amadeus, and everybody knows the Tuba Mirum, and I'm lucky enough to get to sing that with the trombone solo at the beginning. But, yeah, it's a really interesting way that he interwove the soloist creating these quartets just to provide a different texture. So,
musically. And what about the words? Are the words very different from what you're singing from what the... Or is it pretty much the same?
I don't know if I'd say they're very different. I think everybody in their Requiem Mass has certain texts that they are looking to give. It's interesting. There are lots of different Requiems out there. So each one is different. There are Requiems that use the vernacular. So Brahms, for example, in his Requiem, used the German text instead of the Latin. And then there's been several American Requiems where they use biblical texts instead of the traditional Requiem Mass. So
you're keeping mainly with the straight Latin Requiem text, but the music is very different in those quartet or solo parts.
Right.
How did you become a singer?
Well, it started a long time ago, I'm afraid. My family was always musical, but no one majored in music. And then, after high school, like everybody, you wonder what you're going to do. And I just followed my brother's footsteps to Furman University. It's a small school in Greenville, South Carolina. And I knew that I always sang, but I didn't know that I would necessarily be voice performance. I was trying to decide between voice performance and between something in math. And as a music major, you have to take theory and all kinds of things your first year, so I didn't have room for math. And then I realized after that first semester that all of my friends were having to study really hard for all those academic classes, and I decided that I enjoyed practicing and playing far more than calculus. So I started my musical journey there. I am one of the unique singers who never had a voice lesson until I got to college. So,
wow.
But like I said, in some ways I feel like that's better because you're kind of figuring out your own voice and you're not getting bad teaching, I guess. So because I feel like the teaching that I got was really good at Furman, and then I traveled on to Indiana University with my wife, and from there, just had a really outstanding experience.
Yes, one of the great music conservatories in our country, the Jacobs School of Music in Bloomington. So yes, you certainly would have gotten fantastic teaching there as teachers there as well. And were you always leaning towards choral singing and choral activity?
Well, I mean, as a singer, obviously, yes. At Furman, it's mostly just choirs and things like that, but I always knew that, I dabbled in opera a little bit, and I knew that that's kind of where my voice was leading me instead of me being able to decide. And when we got accepted to Indiana, we decided that that would be where we were going. At the Jacobs School, they do 6 operas a year, and then when we were there, they did 2 in the summer as well. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leaned us that way, but our background in choral music was always there. And I love oratorio. I love being able to not only come and see a new state. I've only driven through New Mexico once, and it was for, you know, 4 hours or whatever. And to be able to spend time in Las Cruces has been really nice. I've run your hills and haven't been very happy about it, but but that's okay. But yeah, it's just nice to be able to see new things and to hear wonderful choirs. When my wife and I went into the hallway for our first rehearsal on Tuesday, we were amazed at the sound that was being created from the hall. So we're just lucky to be able to be here. We're glad that we met John at the University of Southern Mississippi. I was on the search committee that hired him there. And then we became really great friends. And we were sad to see him go, but are very happy that he's here and he's able to make music the way that he wants to make it. And it's really quite wonderful.
Yes, I don't know if I mentioned that at the beginning, that John Flannery came here just this fall from Hattiesburg. So your wife is the soprano soloist. Is this the first time she's singing the Mozart Requiem?
Yes, it is. She and I obviously followed the same path. We were both at Furman together. We always tell people the way that we met, we were cast as Julie and Billy in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. And we fell in love as Julie and Billy did. And then we got married right out of college. And so we both went to Indiana. She received her master's from Indiana University. And I went on and finished my doctorate. But she followed more of the operatic path. She was a young artist with several opera companies, Opera Theater St. Louis, and then Glimmerglass in New York, in Cooperstown, New York. And so she has had a lot of experience singing as well. And she, too, loves oratorio. She sings a lot of early music, Haydn and Handel and things. And so the Mozart really fits really well for both of our voices. And like I said, we're just happy to be here.
So it's the first time for you both. I don't know at what point John contacted you and invited you to be the soloist, but do you ever rehearse together, or do you find yourself singing the parts while you're cooking dinner or anything
like
that?
She wanted to rehearse the parts together, but I think that's more that she was nervous I wouldn't know my part. But maybe for good reason, but I've been so busy this semester. I just finished a Carmen. I was Zuniga in Carmen with Mississippi Opera, and before that, I had a recital, so I've been doing a lot of singing. So I've been kind of crazy at work and trying to cram in the Mozart during the dress rehearsals of Carmen. So hopefully I've got it all learned. If not, I'll just sing louder and it'll be okay.
So John Flannery, did you say that you've conducted this before, or this is your first time?
This will be my third time conducting.
Third time. Yeah. All right. So how does it change from one time to the next? For you as the conductor,
I think just in general, the Mozart just wears really well. It just, you know, there is no I've been there, done that before kind of mentality. There's always a new emotional connection and emotional charge that comes from this music and this text, and you know, from perhaps the most perfect composer of all time to have this. So I think it's exciting. The choir sounded great the other night. The orchestra was ready. And it's going to be a really exciting weekend, I think, ahead.
I should announce the concerts are Friday night, tomorrow night at 7:30, and Saturday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. Who's the orchestra?
The orchestra is a combination of Las Cruces Symphony members and folks from El Paso and just a combination of folks from around the area. We've brought together several faculty members will be playing as well.
And it's a small sort of chamber orchestra.
We actually have three works on the program this weekend. The first work, our concert choir women are singing, and it's just with piano. The Yorgi Orban, who's a Romanian composer, his Mass number 6, and Krista Fredrickson, our graduate student, will conduct that. And then we bring just 11 string players out. We're going to do an Estonian composer's work, Arvo Pärt's work, his Berlin Mass that he wrote in 1990, and then we do intermission. Then when we come back, we'll have 22 orchestra members on stage. So it's smaller. It's certainly not a grand 60-piece orchestra, but it's not a quartet or anything.
Yeah,
either.
No,
so,
it's
yeah.
Bigger than I thought. Wow. A mass, and a requiem mass.
I almost wanted to call this program Two Weddings and a Funeral, but I didn't quite think that I could pull that off. So,
We have just a minute or two left, but just a word about the Ortbahn. We heard a little bit of it in the March concert in anticipation of your trip to Carnegie Hall. Yeah. Just give us a little sense of what that is.
Yeah, the Ortbahn is, he wrote this maybe 15 years ago, and it's rhythmic, very light and rhythmic. It almost has some French sounds to it, too.
So it'll be contemporary composer.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, he's still alive. He's probably in his 60s now. He probably wrote this in his early 50s. But yeah, it's rhythmic and very light, and the women are doing a great job with it. And it's just with piano accompaniment, and I think people will really enjoy some of the contrasts on the program tomorrow night, and that being perhaps the most optimistic work on the program, I would say.
But I feel that I must speak up and say a Requiem Mass, it is a Requiem Mass, but it is magnificent and
is
so uplifting. It's not a downer to hear Mozart ever. Well, thank you so much. The concerts again are Friday night, tomorrow night at 7:30, Saturday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. It's the final concert of the season of the university choirs, combined choirs, conducted by Dr. John Flannery. And the soloists, again, Karen Hightower will be the soprano. This is the soloist for the Mozart. Sarah Daughtry, John Carlo Pierce, and my other guest today, Dr. Taylor Hightower. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.